Amen. Merry Christmas. Christ is come and he's coming again. Today we look and focus our attention on one particular aspect of Jesus' coming, and that is love. And as we have the Advent candle here, we have several different things that we focus on during the Advent season, and we do the same thing every time. Why do we do that? It's a pretty good question, right? Today, as we consider in this Advent season, we consider hope and peace, joy, love, we find that as we look at those different aspects, we realize that in Christ, each of those has been redefined, has been remade. And so we come back to them because we have a new perspective on them that we didn't have before. Some of you are paint-by-number people, artists like this, my kind of artist, right? And so when you have your big sheet of paper here and you have your canvas and it has all these different numbers, you can have some semblance of what that thing is. Do we have any paint-by-number people here? Yeah. Oh, very good. Thank good. And you have a semblance of what the thing is, but it's only a semblance. It's a bunch of numbers. For our engineer types, they're like, just leave it the numbers, all right? It's fine. But as you start putting the color to the number, it becomes something else altogether. And in the Old Testament, we have a picture of these things. We have a picture of love and joy and hope and peace. We have an understanding of who God is, but in many ways, they are just numbers pointing to something else. There is a semblance and an order to all of it, but when Jesus comes, there's color that's brought to the picture of what God has done. And all of a sudden, it makes more and more sense as you go along. And so when we come during Advent, what we're saying is we see in the Old Testament, number 5, we see joy. We also see number 8, we see hope. We see number 14, peace. We see number 7, we see in love. We see those things, we know those things, but we don't know those things. We can't comprehend what those things are until Jesus comes. And so today we take 4, 7, I don't know what number to say, 4, 7, 14. We take those numbers and we look at them and we say, how do they make this beautiful picture? Now, they are beautiful in of themselves, but when you put them all together, they have to come together in order for us to understand how beautiful this picture is. So when Jesus comes in Advent, he is redefining and remaking the pregnant promises of God. Amen. And those pregnant promises of God continue until he comes again, because there's even more color that is yet to come. So today, as we looked at this 1 John passage, we see in verse 9, it says this, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son, this is what's being made manifest, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So what does this mean for us to live through him? And we look at the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John has a couple of things that just stand out as you read it. There are two metaphors that are used. The metaphors talk about God as being light and God as being love. He is both of those things. I can't say God is light, God is love. Otherwise, it would be a simile. Okay, I know some of you are following me on this. God is light, God is love. And in the passage that Brad read to us, we find that there is something that sounds like begins with a command. It sounds like a command, but it's actually a revelation. This is what he read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. But earlier in 1 John, It doesn't talk about God just as being love, but it says in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we have these two things. We have that he is love and that he is light. And why does John go on and on about these things? 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Now, these aren't competing metaphors. They have something to do with themselves, with each other. That's why they are brought together in 1 John. They are complementary truths. Light tells us that God is holy, that he is pure, that he represents truth. He dispels darkness. Love tells us what God is like in his self-giving nature and in his covenant faithfulness. Light reveals and love gives. Light exposes what is true and love moves towards that which is broken. And in Advent, we see both of them. That's why the candles are lit today. They're piercing the darkness. Jesus has not come merely to show us the truth. He comes to give himself to sinners. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? How these things are together? How light and love? Light is God revealing himself in his holiness, in his truth? Is God revealing himself in self-disclosure? It proceeds from him so that you might know who he is. So what happens in the story of Christmas? We continue to see these images of light. We see light having a profound effect on the story, where we just sang about the shepherds at night in the still, in the darkness, in the quiet of the evening, and what breaks forth, but light breaks forth with the angelic chorus as they bring good news to the world. It is a dispelling of the darkness and showing who God is. It's a revelation. There is light. Light is not exactly the same thing as love, though, isn't it? Light does not negotiate. It does not soften reality. Light reveals things the way they are. And as the angels came and the light shone forth, they revealed these sad, tired shepherds in their lostness. The light comes into the world to both dispel darkness, but also to shine light on those things that are broken. And what we find as the light comes into the world, it shines itself on so much brokenness. Have you noticed that in your own life? It seems the closer we get to him, the more we see exposed in our own hearts. And if that's where we stopped, that would be crushing, wouldn't it? Amen. To get closer to God is only to be crushed more. That's why we have these two metaphors together, that we both need light. But the love of God has come to change our hearts and transform us and make us into a different kind of people. John says, in John chapter 3:20, in the Gospel of John, he says, everyone who does wicked hates the light. Why does wickedness hate light? Because it exposes. Jesus came as the light of the world, not to flatter humanity, not to be popular, but to tell the truth about us. And the truth is this, we are lost people. We are sinful. Our hearts move towards darkness. That's our natural bent. We are self-serving, self-preserving kind of people. And if we only had light, it would crush us. But God does something more. God himself comes. He comes as love into the world. Yeah, our love is a broken kind of love, how we start off. The way of the world of love is something where between husband and wife, in the world, people are falling in and out of love all the time. This is a broken picture of what love is. And by the way, I don't know if you saw on the screen, we have a marriage class that's coming up 1st of January. I'd love you to attend during the Sunday school hour. As we see this new kind of love, the love that God has for us, husband and wife, between us and the world, between us and our neighbors, us and the church. It is a different kind of love. The love of the world is oftentimes defined by sentiment. The world is transactional, where you have to do something to receive something, or if you don't receive something, you notice how our hearts go. Even in our relationships with other folks, our hearts tend towards the transactional. Someone comes up to us and says, "You know what? You were really kind of harsh with me back there." And what's our first response? "I probably was." No, we say, "Well, you want to talk about harsh, right? I mean, let's talk about you. I mean, what led up to that, you know?" And so here we are. We both in our love is transactional, but also our love on the flip side, our anger is transactional. You did well. I know. I may have done that, but you, right? So we go back and forth. That's the natural bent of our hearts, is to have transactional relationships. Well, but when God came into the world as Jesus, he didn't come in a transactional manner. If he had, can you imagine? When people rejected him as the God of the universe walking among them, if he was transactional, he would destroy them. But he came as light. He both pointed out what was wrong, but he also provided a way towards healing, a way towards peace with God. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." Love is defined by this sending. God sent his Son. God moved towards sinners. God gave what was most precious. And the love of God, spoken about in the Old Testament, but put on flesh in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, it says that it is not the object of the love. It isn't a transaction. It's not the object of the love that is important. It is the one who is doing the loving. That's good news for us. For Christ came, and while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous. He came for us despite the fact that we were in opposition to him. He brought the love in every sense. He did not receive anything back. Some people like to speculate, why did God create man? Why did he do all of this? And so oftentimes the response is, God wanted someone to worship him. God wanted some kind of fellowship. God did not need any of those things. If he did, he chose a really bad thing to create, right? We do not come with the fellowship. We do not come with the adoration. We don't come with the glory to God. He works something in us and changes us because of his love. Light reveals the problem and love provides the solution. At Christmas, we do not merely come to celebrate that God came near. We celebrate that God came for us. And so then that marks who the people of God are. How, do we live in this kind of love? Do we follow in accord with that? 1 John 2:9 says, "There, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." Okay. I know. Please don't read that
and take it literally, because we're in trouble, right? No, take it literally and be in trouble. John doesn't say you need improvement. For those who hate his brothers, you should try harder. You have some growth to do. No, he says you are still in darkness. You're not in the way of the light. Repent and turn back to God. Darkness always produces hatred, bitterness, indifference, and coldness. You cannot say you walk in the light while living in relational darkness. Darkness hides, isolates, hardens. And hatred, whether it's loud or it's passive and boiling, is always a sign that something has been concealed. Advent reminds us that Christ did not come merely to illuminate our minds, but to transform our hearts. And we pray for that in this moment. You transform our hearts. So here's the heart of John's message. Whoever loves his brother abides in this light. Walking in the light produces love. It's not the other way around. We love because the light has already entered us. John says, we love because he first loved us. At Christmas, God does not wait for us to clean ourselves up. He comes. He breaks in. And wherever that light truly shines, there's always love that follows. Bitterness loses its grip. Forgiveness becomes possible, and sacrificial care begins to grow. First John 4:11. This hope, this love became visible. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We should now take on the characteristics and attributes of the one who loved us. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We become the colors of the paint by numbers. People begin to see who God is because now we have a kind of love that is not of this world. When we love one another, as Christ is teaching us, we make the invisible visible. People begin to see, wow, you really do care about me. You're willing to, when we have troubles, when we have problems, and we are always going to have problems in our marriages, with our children to us, just this morning, we're going to have problems with each other, but what we say is we are going to continue to love each other because it is difficult. It is difficult. We are in a sinful world. It is difficult to love other people. And it requires a sacrificial response. We are always taking it on the nose, on the chin for each other. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? So if someone does bad to you, you can do equal to them. And there is kind of a correspondence. And if someone does good to you, you should do good to them, right? Transactional kinds of relationships. But Jesus says, I have come for something else. He said, but now I tell you, if your enemy slaps you on the cheek, turn him the other one. If someone asks you to walk a mile, which is not fair, walk two. Wendy's regularly reminding me, you're not really a servant. You're not really getting this until someone treats you like a servant. Amen. This is sacrificial love. You know, and if we continue in this sacrificial love, it will feel at times like I am always losing in this relationship. Amen? Have you been there? I'm always losing in this relationship. Why do I have to be the bigger person? It's because the bigger person lives within you. And that requires us to keep going back to him and saying, Lord, help me. I don't have the strength to turn the cheek. I don't have the strength not to harbor bitterness. This is only natural, but we need the presence of God in our life. But he's come. That's the good news. Pray for that strength. Receive that strength and live in that strength. The light that came at Christmas now shines through his people and is love in the world. Advent doesn't end at the manger, but it continues at the altar. So we began with the question, what does it mean that we might live through him? Jesus' coming demonstrated his love in a way that could not be comprehended within history. It was not something that was could be established without him coming. The Old Testament and the ways that we lived, they only could point to something as grand as this. But Jesus has come and given us a glimpse of his glory, and he's given it to us in living color. He did the greatest thing, the most unimaginable thing. He came and he saved us, and he made a way for you and for me. And it cost him. And it cost him over and over and over again. And he kept going. His love continued to pursue us. Because God is. Now we live because of that love. And now we live in that love. And we live in accordance with that love. And now he lives within us. Light is his presence, revealing a world incongruous with his holiness, exposed as broken, deceitful, and destructive. Love is his disposition towards the world, towards a darkened world. It requires sacrifice and forgiveness. And so, we are brought back again to the light shining on us. So what do we celebrate in Advent? Not just that a child was born, I just shepherds and the star appeared and angels sang. It is pretty telling, though. As you go around and you look, isn't Christmas beautiful? Like, there's lights and tinsel and red things and green things. And it's because the glory of God has come and been around his people. And it's changing everything. So, beloved, walk in the light. Abide in his love. And let the world see that God has come. Let them see where they could not see before. Love has come in Jesus, and the light is still shining. Amen.